Turn tonight in Mark chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, and we want to share a portion of Mark in this chapter 6. We want to share a portion of this chapter, you know, every time you preach, and I think the pastor will attest to this. You know, every time you preach from a passage, you kind of think you've preached it out. But then when you begin to read through it again, and you read, you know, your Bible in your own studies, and there's just something that that just pops out at you that you've really never focused on before. And so I always try to write the time periods that that I've been in this particular passage, and down through the years, and I think it starts with about, as far as recorded, it starts with about 2016. I preached my first message as far as where I kept my notes in my Bible, and I have visited this chapter, actually 2012, and I'd visited this chapter several times, but there's a verse that kind of spoke to me during my study that I hope can be an encouragement to you. And so let's begin reading with verse 45 of Mark chapter 6. The Bible says, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. And they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Now, we've titled our message tonight, "It Is I." But I want us to kind of focus on the thought taken from verse 52. Where the Bible says, "They considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Now, I want to begin tonight with the I Am's. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John chapter 8, verse 12 says, "I am the light of the world." John 10:11 says, "I am the good shepherd." John 10:9 says, "I am the door." John 11:25 says, "I am the resurrection and the life." John 6:35 says, "I am the bread of the life. I am the bread of life." John 15:11 says, "I am the true vine." And when you record all those verses and you have them written down, he says he's the way, the truth, and the life. He says he's the light of the world. He says he's the good shepherd. He says he's the door. He says he's the resurrection and the life. He says he's the bread of life. He says he's the true vine. And when you stop and think about each one of these things, ultimately, He has covered every base of life. Every need that we may have, every situation that we are in, every trouble that comes our way, every hindrance, every, even sickness, troubles, hardships, storms, we focus on the I Am. The I Am. And when He says these words, "It is I," then not only is He saying, "It is Jesus," but He's also saying, "It is I, the way, the truth, and the life." He's saying, "It is I, the light of the world." He's saying, "It is I, the good shepherd." He's saying, "It is I, the door." He's saying, "It is I, the resurrection and the life." He's saying, "It is I, the bread of life." He's saying, "It is I, the true vine." In other words, in their struggles, and as He saw them, the Bible says that He saw them trolling and rowing, and the winds, and how they were contrary, and all those things, and they were concerned as they saw Him walking on the sea, on the water, and all these things. When He says, "It is I, be not afraid," He's telling them, "Don't be afraid, because it's I. It's all these things. It's all these things in your life." But yet verse 52 gives us the thought that they were troubled. And they didn't consider the fact that He had just fed the 5,000. So let me ask you a question, and you don't have to answer this. I just want to say it as a thought. How many times in our life, and we're speaking in life in general, not necessarily yesterday or not today, but I'm just talking about in life in general, how many times have you prayed and God has delivered or answered that prayer, and we gave Him glory, but then not too long after, there's another problem that comes, and we're fearful of the what ifs. We're fearful of the possibilities. We're fearful of what if this happens. And we are full of the what ifs. You know, especially when you have a health problem, and the doctor starts talking about, the what ifs. You know, well, this, if we do this, it could go this. You know, anymore, what I've seen recently, a doctor sometimes don't want to make their decision on what needs to happen. They want you to make it. They want you to make the decision. And so, you know, when we become fearful, you know, there's a lot of fear of what's going on in our world today. There's a lot of fear as to, where we are as a country, and the turmoil that's in our government, and the turmoil of the what ifs, and we start thinking about, well, what if this happens and what if that happens? You know, regardless of what happens, it is I, be not afraid. It is I. And so Jesus is simply giving testimony, and it makes mention, it says, and their hearts were hardened. You know, sometimes our hearts become hardened, not because of anger or disgust or those type of things, but sometimes our heart can be hardened because they're full of the what ifs. In other words, the I can't penetrate our fears. It can't penetrate because we're so concerned about life. We're so concerned about the what ifs, and we're so concerned, you know, and we're all guilty of it. You know, there's not anyone that's not subject to go down that road. But let me remind you tonight that Jesus is the one to follow. Jesus is the one to trust. And Jesus is the one to give your heart to. And so when we focus on those things, and yes, in our minds, because we're still in this flesh and we're still in this body and we still have the nature that we have, even though we have those things, our challenge tonight is to look at the I, to focus on the I, because that's exactly what happened as they were in that ship and as it was going, being tossed about, and they were rowing and they were doing everything that they could do. When Jesus entered the scene, he tells them, be of good cheer. Don't worry. Don't worry. It is I. Be not afraid. And it goes on to say in verse 51, and as Jesus entered into the ship, the wind ceased. Well, let me remind you that the water was still there. Let me remind you that they were still in the ship. Let me remind you that they were still having to go to the other side. But yet when Jesus came on the scene, then the wind ceased, which tells me when we keep close to Jesus, then we'll see a calming no matter what comes our way. We'll see a calming, even though we're still in the ship of life, we'll have a calming that overtakes us because we are focusing on the I. We are focusing on the one that is the way, the truth, and the life. We are focusing on the light of the world. We're focusing on the good shepherd. We're focusing on the door, the resurrection and the life, the bread of life and the true vine. Our focus is on him. And that's exactly what they were doing. When Jesus got in the ship, I guarantee you, because I'm speaking of as myself, that I guarantee you that their eyes were focused on him and it wasn't focused on what was outside the ship. But their eyes were focused on him. In this passage, the scripture shows us Jesus was walking on the water, which means he was going to them. This passage shows that Jesus is the giver of peace and that he has everything under his control, even the storms of life. And therefore, Jesus should be the center of our life, should be the center of our life. The whole time that he was with his followers, the disciples, he was continuing to teach them, to teach them. He constrained his disciples to get in the ship. And we want to call it tonight the ship of life. That's what we do. We get in the ship. When we understand that life is a journey and there's a starting point, which is at conception, and there's an ending point as far as this life is concerned, is at our death, or of course, unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, then life is a journey. Life is a journey. And so he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and they did what he said. They listened to him because they got into the ship. They listened to him. And so a person can never be wrong by following Jesus Christ. A person can never be wrong by following the Lord Jesus Christ and doing what he says. And I've said this to you before, but life becomes more peaceful when we do what we're told. When I was growing up, life became more peaceful at home when we did what we were told. But when we didn't do what we were told, then there was problems. There was arguments, there was bad attitudes, there was anger, and all those things that go into it just because we didn't listen. But who better to listen to than Jesus Christ? Who better to listen to than him? Lessons. There was a point in my life, and it was sometime around my teenage years, just as I was about out of my teenage years, there was a time in my life that I could truly say that I was probably one of the most unteachable people that there was. It didn't last long, but there was a time in my life that I could say that I was probably unteachable. And of course, God opened my eyes, and He directed me and spoke to me. But you know, no matter how old I get, I constantly want to learn. I constantly want to learn. Because there's always something to learn. There's always something to learn. Lessons, as the disciples were learning here, and as they were in this ship of life, lessons will help them in life. You know, they learned a valuable lesson. And, you know, they saw the feeding of the 5,000, but yet they were still troubled about what was taking place. When in reality, Jesus was showing them who He was and that He could be trusted and that He has all power. And we can trust Him this evening. We can trust Him this evening. So lessons will help them in life. Lessons would mold them to a true servant. And lessons would benefit them. These disciples were getting something from Jesus that no one else could give. And we call them life lessons. So the first area that He was teaching them was He was teaching them not to fear. Not to fear. He addressed their fear. He addressed their fear. He says, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." So He addressed their fears. There are believers who never seem to get over fears. They worry. They get troubled. And sometimes, and we're everyone subject to this, but sometimes our fears can overweigh our faith if we allow it to happen. Their life, they live their life in, or they were, maybe I should say it this way, they were living their life in contrast to what Jesus was showing because they were so fearful. I know a person that's, I believe they're somewhere close to 90, still lives by themselves. And this person has always been afraid of the dark, always been afraid of being alone. But their spouse passed away many years ago, and they're still living at home. And they don't, unless it's changed, I haven't talked to them in a little bit, but unless it's changed, they never go to bed. Because as soon as it gets dark, then they cut out all their lights and they sit in a chair and they fall asleep in the chair because they're afraid of the dark. And they're afraid of the what ifs. They're afraid of someone breaking in. And yes, there's a great fear because you know how evil people are. But the point I'm meaning is fear can cause trouble. Fear can cause anxiety. Fear can cause a person to be troubled in so many ways, and it's almost like there's no peace. There's no peace. So Jesus is addressing their fear because they were afraid. They were afraid of the storm. They were afraid of what they were seeing. They were afraid that that the ship might sink. Well, I can tell you tonight that if you're in Jesus, your ship won't sink. If you're in Jesus, your ship won't sink. Jesus says, "Be of good cheer." In other words, be encouraged because it's I. Be encouraged because it's Jesus. Storms are under His control. They're under His control. He showed how He could control over every situation. They saw how He fed the hungry. And now they're seeing how He controls the storms. The storms in life. Now we know that the I Am's that I've shared with you a couple of times now, the bread of life, you know, we understand that when we take the bread of life, and we're saved, then we'll never go hungry in a sense of that spiritual sense. Same way with, being thirsty. You know, when you're saved and you know Christ is your personal Savior, then you have that quenched. You have that hunger quenched, that thirst quenched. Now, we should be hungry for that relationship, and we should hungry to be close to Him, and we should enjoy, you know, just like picking up your Bible, is just like talking to Him. It is talking to Him. And we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, but He's still in control of the storms of life. And the storms of life are under His control. And they were afraid. Yes, they were afraid of the rough waters and the winds and the ship and all those things. And they were afraid that they might sink and that they might drown. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Do you know that one of the hardest things for us to kind of comprehend sometimes when we stop and really think about it? Do you know storms of life are sometimes part of His plan? Think about if there's anyone in your life that you've gone through something and you were able to help them. You were able to help them because you gave a testimony of what God did in your life. Now, the worst thing that we can do if someone, and I'm thinking of sickness now, that maybe we get news and it's not good news and we start talking to people, and you talk to someone who had maybe the same condition that you had, you know, you start talking to them about it, and you need to encourage them, and you need to support them, and you need to do all those things. But the last thing that we need to do is say, well, a friend of mine had the same problem and the doctor made a bad decision and they died. You know, that's not very encouraging. It's not very encouraging. Or when you're talking to someone, you say, well, I had that same problem, but mine was a little worse. You know, and then you kind of turn it over, you know. But it's easy to do those things. But, you know, I think we just need to be, if the Lord has helped you through life, and helped you through something that you know without a shadow of a doubt the Lord helped you, we need to tell people and encourage people. Because we're introducing them and we're encouraging them to look to the I. The I. It is I. Storms in life might be part of God's plan. And they were where Jesus wanted them to be because He told them to get in the ship and He told them to go to the other side. And so there's a verse that I think about is in Romans chapter 8 verse 28. And you know this verse, but I'll read it to you. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. What a lesson. What a lesson that we learn. That we just simply need to lean on Him. Lean on Him. It was now a time in their life to trust Jesus. It was a time in their life to trust Jesus. Because in reality, there would be greater storms that they had to face. And several of these might have to face these storms without the group. They were all in the ship together. They were all learning together. Just like we come to church and we worship and we encourage each other and we lift each other up. But what happens when we get away and we're going down our own path of life? Just remember, you're not alone. You're not alone. They needed to learn early in life that Jesus was in control. We say it, but the question is, do we believe it? What a lesson for us to take hold of, that Jesus is the great I. The great I am. He addressed the storm, but now he addresses their faith. I am he, he says. It is I. Be not afraid. Who is he? Who is Jesus? What were they learning? Well, they were learning that he was all powerful. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Jesus is all powerful. Jesus is always, or is also all present. All present. Matthew chapter 28 verse 20, the Bible says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." You know, if you don't get anything else tonight, let me encourage you that you can trust Jesus. You can trust him. We may not be able to trust people sometimes. We may not be able to trust, you know, every circumstance, but we can trust him to get us through whatever it is that we go through. We can trust him. He's all perceiving. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 3. "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." He knows all the evil that's happening in this world. He knows what's happening. He knows the ones who are turning on him. He knows the directions, and he knows all those things. But I say again tonight that he's worthy of our trust. He's worthy of our trust. As Brother Ward used to say, we just need to keep on keeping on. And that's what our challenge is to keep on keeping on. And then lastly tonight, he addresses their future. He addresses their future. The Bible says that he went up unto them to the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondering. They must have thought that this storm was going to take them. They must have thought this storm might take them out of here. But Jesus had other things in mind, and he says the words, "Be not afraid." He's trustworthy. And you got to remember, and Pastor Chuck brought a message recently on a Wednesday night, you've got to remember that he told them to go the other side. To go the other side. That's the future. That was their future. Is to go the other side. He's trustworthy in salvation. He's trustworthy in life. And he's trustworthy in our future. He is ever available because he says, "Be not afraid." He is enough. He is enough. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 22 says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. It is I. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I'm the door. I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. I am Jesus. And that's who we focus on, is Jesus. Let's pray tonight. Our Father, Lord, we thank you for this time together. And Lord, you know our hearts. You know us. You know our struggles. You know the situations that we encounter in life. But I know that you want us to lean on you. You want us to trust you. You want us to take control of our life. So help us tonight, Lord, to allow you to take total control, because you are the I Am. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for those that are here, those that have been viewing. And Lord, we just pray as we leave this place that we'll meditate on the I Am's and how it covers life and our needs. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for who you are. And we thank you for another opportunity tonight to just simply thank you for who you are. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.